Hello, lovely people. Welcome to Insights with Akosua, and I am your host, Akosua. Said in John chapter 6 verse 63, the Holy Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. On this podcast, our aim is to enable you gain a better understanding, appreciate and live the word of God in this 21st century. God bless you for joining us. Enjoy today's episode. Hello, dear listeners. This episode was recorded over a long distance, which caused some technical hitches. Please bear with us, and we are sorry for this situation. On today's episode, I have here with me a very fine gentleman who goes by the name Phinehas Nkuma. He is a fifth-year medical student at KNUST School of Medicine and Dentistry. He's also the president of Pensacas. Please, Phinehas, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well by the grace of God. How are you doing yourself?
I'm doing very fine. So, fantastic. My dear listeners, thank you, Phinehas. My dear listeners, today we're talking about help. That is the topic for today, just help. Now, Phinehas, will you do us, you know, the honor and lead us in a word of prayer?
Thank you so much, Akosua. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we are so grateful for our lives this day. Thank you so much for how you have brought us. And we commit today's session into your hands, that may you lead us by your spirit and help us understand that which we want to discuss. That at the end of this session, we would come to know and feel how your help is actually in our lives. Even in the name of Jesus, we prayed. Amen.
Amen. We thank God. So Phinehas, please, are you familiar with Matthew chapter 7, verse 7?
Yeah, I mean, that's quite a full scripture.
So, okay, let me read it for our listeners.
Sure.
So, here we go. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. And the word of God says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." I want to continue from the verse 8. "For everyone that asks, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Now, for me, this verse looks very simple. Like, it is very simple. But when you are in need of help and you don't know anywhere to look for help, and when you read this verse, sometimes you feel that you're so away from God, but he's so close to us. I don't know, but Phinehas, what do you think about this? Like, what is your understanding about this verse?
All right. Thank you so much. I think I agree with you in the sense that the verse looks very simple on there, from the outlook, that like verse that ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. I mean, this was Jesus speaking, and it looks very straightforward. I mean, when you ask, I mean every time we ask, we usually get a response. I mean, even in our human relations, I mean, you ask and you get a response. Whether or you know, I mean, you still got a response. And certainly when you seek hard enough, you're surely going to find. And I'm pretty sure when you knock at anybody's door and the person is inside and willing to listen to you, or open up, the person will eventually open the door, you can enter. I mean, so the verse actually, I mean, sounds on the outlook as something very simple and very common in everyday living, but it carries a deeper sense than just asking and receiving as a regular day-to-day human relation or way of interacting with each other. The verse, in this verse, Jesus tries to make us understand that when we ask him, we get to receive what we ask. Okay, and when we seek him, we find him. And when we knock, he opens up to us. Okay, so it's not just a simple, let's say, common thing that happens in our everyday relation, but this is a form of assurance Jesus tries to put across, so we get to know that he is ever ready to help us. Okay, and I mean, when you read a few verses down, I think in verse 9, he says that...
Should I read that verse 9?
Oh, well, yes, you can read verse 9.
Okay, so verse 9. The verse 9 says, "Or what a man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone?" So powerful.
Yeah. So Jesus is putting a question across, and is asking his audience that which amongst you, if your child came up to you and asked for bread, you are going to give him stone? Okay, and I think when you read verse 10 and then you continue down, he's trying to illustrate something. What Jesus is putting across is, if even in human demonstration of love, we do not give contrary to what people ask or our children ask, that someone asks for bread and then we are giving them stone. That's very off. I mean, and we actually supply them with what they ask for. How much more will our Heavenly Father give us what we ask for? So in this verse, it's not just a communication of something we see being done in our regular and daily human relations, but it's a communication of assurance of the love of God, to which end that God is so loving that there is nothing good he would withhold from us, and that if we would seek him out in faith, to ask faith, we will receive in faith. Like, a human who would not sort of throw away our request and give us stone when we ask for bread, much more will our loving Father give us whatever we ask for.
Yeah, but yeah. My question is that, you know, certain times you do not even know what to ask of. Yeah, we have it in our hearts, but we don't know even where to point, like, a direction towards to. Sometimes we're even afraid to knock because there's an issue within us. So, as I said, the verse is kind of very simple doing, but how is it when you're afraid?
Right. So I think everything predicates on how well we are convinced about the love God has for us. Okay. If you're not so convinced about the love God has for us, it may prove very difficult going to ask for something. I think even with myself and my dad, I'm still aware that my dad loves me, and I know that he's very concerned about my academics. And so if, say, I had any academic need, and knowing how concerned he was and how loving he was, it did not matter how great my need was or how terrible I had behaved at home. So long as he was around and I went forth to ask about my academic needs, I needed a textbook or I needed something academic related, I knew, I mean, all of my confidence in going to ask him was founded on the conviction of his love and his concern for that aspect of my life, which is my academics. See, so I agree that oftentimes we are so confused on what to ask for. I mean, and there are times we are so scared to ask for it. But the solution to that would always be a reflection of how well we are convinced about the love God has for us. Okay, so it's one thing to hear that God loves you. It's another to read it, know it for yourself. And it's another to have experienced it and convicted yourself of it. Okay, and, yeah. And I find that the more we come to know God's love, the more we come to understand that indeed God loves us, it becomes very easy when we are laying our request before him, when we are seeking him out. Because here is a case in our minds, we know that we are approaching someone who is so madly in love with us, so to speak, and would actually want to hear from us and respond to our needs. Okay, and so that sort of gives us the confidence to approach him.
Yeah.
And that's what I think.
So I want to draw our listeners to this verse for people who are afraid and who are troubled and can't find the assurance and the love that Phinehas is talking about. So from Psalm chapter 46, verse 1 to 3, I want to read these verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. For me, personally, for the verse 2 to 3, mm-hmm. talks about how when so many things hit us, like sure. if something is a mountain goes to the a mountain is carried into the midst of the sea, already the sea mm-hmm. itself is roaring, the waters are roaring, and the mountain is sure. inside, like. It means that you're actually in a lot of trouble. But the verse 1, it says, he's a very present help. And I believe that, you can also, you know, share your thoughts with us.
I think the psalmist in verse 2 and 3 actually tries to illustrate some of the very, very terrible things that can happen to us. I mean, not literally though, but then you can imagine that the earth is removed. I mean, the earth being removed could actually mean a lot of things. I mean, we get a lot of sustenance from the earth, okay? And so if the psalmist says that the earth be removed, he could mean in one sense that we have lost that which sustains us, that which sustains our living.
A very foundation.
Yes, exactly. And so the psalmist is saying that the mountain is going to be thrown into the sea. I mean, that's a very terrible sight. I mean,
it's a very terrible sight. It's like your life going upside down. Like everything is just upside down. For people who are experiencing the lowliest point of their lives and they do not know who to go to, the psalmist here says that God is a help, he's a present help in every trouble.
Certainly. So there are other versions that even put it in a more interesting way. They say that God is an ever-present help. I mean, an ever-present help. So It means that God, I mean, at the time the trouble appears, or at the time you feel that you are going through all of these crashing moments, God there. I mean, yeah. It's mind blowing. It means sort of he comes along with the trouble. It wouldn't ever happen that there will be the trouble and God's presence will be absent. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing for me. That's amazing for me.
It's very amazing.
I think over the past weeks, I was listening to a preacher, and the preacher was saying that was sharing a story about a daughter who was asking the dad that she wanted the strength to be a mother, and the dad says that when we are going to, let's say when you are traveling to a town, another town, and we are going by train, at which point do I give you the money to go and buy a ticket for the journey? And then the doctor replies that when we are at train station, just before we are about to begin. Okay. And the dad explained that the strength to be able to go through such moments are only given at the point where the strength is needed and not before. Okay, so one of the things I've come to actually see about how God works with us or shows his love to us is that oftentimes the problem we face and the situations that sort of seek to swallow us up, in those moments, in those times, that's exactly when the power of God is revealed. That's exactly when the love of God is made manifest.
Yeah.
And usually not before. Because it's in those moments that when the love of God is revealed, it will hold significance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. And once that significance has been established, then our faith grows in Him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how God relates with us. Because like I was saying, I mean, the matter of saying that I believe God loves me, I mean, I feel that it comes with certain stages or categories of understanding. Some of us have, I mean, I grew up as a Christian in a Christian home. And so as part of my growing up, I spent most of my days going to church and all of that. So I knew the Christian setting quite well
but sometimes from childhood. Some of us grew up as Christians, but before that, oh yeah, it happens.
Exactly. So we actually grow up knowing some of these things just by head knowledge, because we heard someone say it, that it's true, and we believe that the person is actually communicating the truth. So we believe and we take it as it is. Okay, and that's another level of understanding.
Yeah.
And it's a whole different level of understanding when you carry that which you heard from somebody and now believe it for yourself as true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that I see that is another level of understanding, which is more stronger and more grounded than the former. And it's a whole different level when now you have experienced that which you were talking about. And that sort of, I mean, makes it more well established. Okay, so if I was taught that God is love and God loves his children, that has its own level of understanding. If I read it myself and I was convinced of what I've read, that has its own sort of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go through a very hard time and all hell seems to break loose and everything seems to be against me, and in those moments as I express my faith in God, I come to experience the love of God, that to me sort of is the peak of everything, is the peak of all understanding.
That
and
to you,
nobody can actually take that from you. Yes, actually.
Yeah, but it's not to everybody. That's my opinion. That's very true.
Oh, well.
It's not to everyone. It's very difficult.
Yes, very, very true. Very true.
Well, if
we are.
sorry, please can continue.
Yeah, what I'm saying, what I'm going to say is, there are certain things we all get to know God for. See, there are some people who get to know God for being a provider because they have the kind of experiences they have had with God. They've been in several situations where they were in lack, and God came through for them, and so they experienced God as a provider. And so I believe that everybody has a kind of understanding of God based on experience, based on how we have come to experience Him. I mean, personally, there are so many things we attribute with God, but nobody can actually convince me otherwise that God is not faithful, because most of my experiences in life have been one that have come to convince and confirm to me that God is faithful.
That God
So one of the ways I is
is
very faithful.
faithful. Amen to
Exactly.
that. He is
So
faithful.
one of the ways I know God and I actually describe God is that God is a faithful God, because he's walked with me, he's been faithful with all. So that's my conviction about him.
So let us go back
No.
to the, sorry, let's go back to see the part that you were
Sure.
talking about, God manifesting himself in our weaknesses, on our times of trouble where we are weak.
Sure.
Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, for me personally, this verse, I believe that sometimes God allowed certain things to happen to us so that he will uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. Because certain times, the problem might not even be the outside sources, it's with us. For my opinion, if he's upholding us with his right hand, it could be that he's upholding us to greater purposes. It could be that he's upholding us from ourselves. So, if God comes, I want you to share with me here. Yeah, if God comes, like, not, I'm not saying when he comes on the last day when the trumpet sounds. No, no, no. But I'm saying, talking
All right.
about when we need help and God is coming to us and God is coming to help us, and he's actually coming to help us. Should we allow him as human beings? Allow him. And when I say allow him, I mean fully allow him. Let him uphold us with his right hand. And then, not being afraid or anxious, states that we trust him, that we fully put everything into his hand. Now, your thoughts.
Yes. I think we have to. Our understanding of God and the kind of faith we would express in God can see and seal us through the circumstances we face, I believe would always rest on about four things, okay? Just about four things. Our conviction about God's love, our conviction about God's faithfulness, our conviction about God's power, and conviction about God's sovereignty.
Please, are you
So
all listening down? Because I am listening down. I just can't turn it down.
yes. So our conviction about God's love, His faithfulness, His power, and His sovereignty is what sort of builds our faith in Him, and it's that kind of faith which would always steer us through the many scenes of life. And I'll just explain it a bit, okay? God's love what will actually move him to do the impossible for our sakes. Okay, it's the love he has for us that would push him to go the extra mile to reach out and save us, as it were. Now, his love would not be expressed in any other form that would be more tangible than his faithfulness. You see, there are a lot of people who can actually love you, have genuine love for you, and may not be faithful in carrying out their intended love decisions. And as human as we are, if someone is not faithful, the question of his love is brought to light. Because you could never have said you loved somebody and not have demonstrated faithfulness. Okay, so God's way of demonstrating his love to us is always expressed in his faithfulness. And by his faithfulness, this is what I mean. He promises that because I love you, I am going to do this for you. Because I love you, I am going to be there for you. So he says that, do not be afraid, I am with thee. Okay? That is someone who loves you. Now his faithfulness would mean that he would indeed be there with you. Okay? He won't let you go through that situation alone. He wouldn't let you go through that very low point of your life alone. So he says that I am with thee, and he fulfills his part of the promise. That's his faithfulness. Okay, and what's more to this is that if God was not powerful, all of this would not matter. Okay, if someone actually loves you, someone is very faithful, but does not have the power to execute that which he is promised, he wouldn't be able to do it, and all of that will come for nothing. So if, say, my dad says, out of his love for me, he wants to ensure that I get quality education, okay? And he doesn't have the means to provide for my school fees. I mean, how will I get quality education? Okay, so his inability to provide for my fees would mean that even though he has very good thoughts and concerns towards me, all of that will count for nothing because he doesn't have the power to execute his love and his good intentions towards me. But this is not the case with God. Okay, and that is what I think we should all come to know, and not just know, but come to believe that God is able to do. We ought to believe. Okay, we have to move from the point of just knowing it and move to the point of believing it. Mm-hmm. That God is able to do. And I love how the Bible puts it, that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. Okay, and
amen.
A friend shared with me that if the word just says that God is able to do, that would have just been enough. But it goes on to reassure us that God is able to do it in an exceeding manner, in an abundant form. Okay? And that goes all the way to show the kind of power that God wields. That he is able to actually turn that situation we find ourselves in around for our good. So that even though we see that at this point in our life, we are actually going through the worst that could have happened to us, we realize that we come out of that situation and we were like, oh boy, this really should have happened. There was a time in my life, I felt I was going through a very dark moment. But I came out of it, and many years down the line, I went through that moment, and I'll share it with you. Just before I entered high school, I really felt I could have done so well to have gotten my first choice, and that didn't work out so well, so I had my second choice, and I was very mad at God, very, very mad at God. I mean, I couldn't understand
why. You.
I really could not understand why God says that he loves me, he can do all things, and he didn't get my first choice school. I mean, what do you mean? I mean, none of this meant anything. And I was so mad at God. So much when I entered the school, I was angry at everybody, literally. And it was that bad. It was that bad. I mean, I think for about a couple of months, 3-4 months, I was just mad at everybody I saw for no reason. I mean, I had a reason, but it was not because they had done anything to me. It was just because I felt God had been unfair to me. And that's how the attitude was. But when I finished that school, I mean, and I look at how life was then, there were so many opportunities I had in that school. And there I had the opportunity to have an exchange program outside the country. And there was no way I could have had that opportunity in my first choice school, because the opportunity just came to our school.
And that's Amen.
The
thing is, when we are going through the process, we think that we are in the hell. We think we are at the lowest point. But when we are out of the process, when the result comes, then you see the goodness of God and what God has done for us, and he keeps doing for us.
Absolutely.
Thank you
Absolutely.
Very much.
You're welcome. So I actually went through it, and I mean, when I got out and I recount my story, I realized that most of my best days and most of the very wonderful things I can share with people as testimonies actually came from going to school in my second choice school. And I realized that all this while, when I actually thought God had been unfair to me, he still had very good intentions for me. And for which cause now, I mean, those were days my faith in him and my experience of those things I learned. And I told you I grew up as a Christian, so I knew virtually a lot of things from the Bible, because we literally memorized most of them. And so those were the days all of these things were actually becoming real to me. That, oh, so all those things we read about God is love, God is faithful, God is powerful, all of these things are actually real and happening to us. And to me, once I had gone through those things, my faith, I mean, took a solid ground. And so when next I faced a problem and I faced a situation and I felt that, well, this situation is going to eat me up, I just recount how God has been good to me in the past. And that sort of gives me enough strength to go through the current situation. And you realize that you don't know how you get your help, but just like the psalmist said in Psalm 46, God is an ever-present help, a very present help in a time of trouble. So I have realized in my experience that you realize that at the moment when you are going through all of this heartache, you get some strength from within to carry on and to keep on trusting God as you reflect on his goodness. And the story always ends the same. You start very terrible, everything is so bad, and you end and everything is so glorious. And for me, it's been that over and over and over again, and I've come to see that this God actually loves me. And it's not for something momentarily that will shake me to say that God has forsaken me. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to wrap up here, our dear listeners. Thank you very much. So please, Phinehas, what do you have to end us with?
Well, I just want to say this, that truthfully, God is not man that he will lie. And so everything he has said concerning us in his word, he meant them before saying them. He didn't just say them for the beauty of saying them. There are a lot of people who can actually tell us beautiful things, promise us very wonderful things, and not carry them through. But that is not so with God. And even though sometimes it's very difficult to see God's hand, I would want to say that let's trust his heart. And his heart beats with love for us. Amen.
Amen. So, my dear listeners, wonderful people, thank you for joining us till this time. What I would like to say to everyone who is in need of help, who is afraid, and who thinks he doesn't know what to say or what to ask from God, that we should all go to the Bible and read Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. And it says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him." Prepare your life as a habitation unto God. Exalt him and praise him. Trust in him and believe him. And I'll tell you, he will surely come and deliver you from all of your problems in your situation that you're going through. What I want to say to you is that be with God, be under him, and he will be with you. Thank you very much for joining us in this episode. And let the sovereign arm of God be with you. Amen. Bye-bye.
Amen.